It's time for, hello, a Jersey Shore recap podcast.
Hello?
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 Hello? My name, of course, is Cookie.
And my name is GWOW. Together we are Cookie and GWOW, and we recap Jersey Shore all the way from season 1 to now season 5, episode 10.
We're at the season episode 10. We're at the end of, we have one more season after this, which is crazy. It's getting serious now.
One more episode in this season, and then one more season in this span of the original series. Yeah, pretty crazy.
Well, we kind of pick up right where we left off in the last episode, which was, to give a quick recap, Mike, of course, is playing a game of chess that nobody else is playing, where he thinks he's been trying this whole season to get Gianni, Snooki's boyfriend, to get his attention so that he can reveal that Snooki cheated on him with himself. Yeah, that was confusing the way I said that, but you get it.
Cheated on Gianni with him, yes. Mike. Yes.
I was like, cheated on him with him with... Okay, yes. Anyways, in the last episode, he finally got his moment. In the morning, only he and Gianni were up. It was like the perfect storm for his plan to finally come into fruition. So he pulls him outside and breaks it down for him. He tells him everything. And Gianni's response is, okay.
Anyway. Gianni's response is, kudos, mama. Thank you for spilling.
And then he moves
the fuck on with his day. He honestly gives it no reaction. He's so classy about it. He doesn't even interrupt Mike. He doesn't argue with Mike. He doesn't cause... Because honestly, the last thing Gianni wants is a scene. And so he is like, okay. Kudos for spilling, mama. Thank you. And then he goes back up and lays down with Nicole. And he tells her, he's like, hey, Mike just like said this thing and I didn't believe it. I don't care. I'm just like letting you know. And Nicole's reaction, if I was Gianni, would have made me think like, yeah, I don't really care what happened either. We're good. Like,
yeah,
we're solid right now. So like it feels to me like they're like, we've already hashed this out and we've already worked it out. And like Mike doing whatever is not going to affect it. Like it doesn't even matter if it happened or not. They're just like, that energy is not going to affect us. They literally go back to laughing and cuddling in 2 seconds.
Which I love. I love that Gianni reacted that way. I love that they just went back to cuddling because Mike expected this big scene. This whole, for the last two seasons, for months of his life now, he's preparing for this big moment, this big buildup. And it was nothing burger. It led to nothing.
He was preparing for it so much that he was like brushing his teeth and like creeping on the stairs to try and be like, oh, I don't want to miss 1 second of whatever drama is happening between Nicole and Gianni. And then I think he was really confused when there was no drama happening between Nicole and Gianni. Like,
and he, in his mind, trying to spin it to still somehow make him feel like he won, he was spinning it to, well, obviously this means that Gianni doesn't care about Nicole. She's nothing to him. So it doesn't even bother him to find out she's cheating because he doesn't even care about her. Girl,
yeah. I actually think the whole house really doesn't understand Nicole and Gianni at this point. No. And I'm not even trying to be a Nicole apologist because, like, let's say she did cheat. I just think that everyone's forgetting that, like, this rumor is, like, 6 months at least old. This rumor's from back in Italy. Like, this rumor doesn't matter right now. She's already addressed it with him on the phone, being like, Mike's saying this, it's not true. I'm sure they've already talked about it off camera. And so everyone is taking it like, wow, you just heard this news and like don't have any reaction. And I'm like, no, he didn't just hear this news. He's listening to Nicole's drug-infused friend obsess over something that they've moved past, and instead of getting involved with somebody he knows he's no business getting involved in right now, he doesn't. And I think it's wrong of even the way the rest of the cast even talks about them. I'm like, y'all don't get it, and you're not taking into account like the Mike aspect. Like, you're just like, how could Gianni not care? I'm like, no, you're forgetting that all the context matters so much here.
Exactly. No. There's a moment later where I think, is it Polly and Vinny talking? Like,
yeah,
there's this conversation of, oh, maybe he actually knows she's active. Maybe she's actively cheating on him all the time and he knows and doesn't care because he's also cheating and they're just both all cheating on each other. I'm like, now you're telling fairy tales. Now you're creating fictional stories to support why you think people are reacting the way they are. Where did you get that from? They're cheating on each other actively?
Part of my thing is like, maybe I have the gift of like, I've seen the future because if they really broke up and didn't go anywhere, maybe they'd have valid points in being concerned about the way Gianni treats Nicole or reacts to Nicole or whatever. But I'm like, y'all are all going to change your tune next season when she's sitting there 6 months pregnant with this man's fucking child. Y'all are all going to shut the fuck up about the two of them and realize that like, you don't have to believe in them. You don't have to think they're going to be together forever. You don't have to think anything, but they're about to have a child together. So factually speaking, they will be tied together forever. And that alone, I just am like, maybe getting pregnant was the best thing for them in terms of just getting everybody to leave them the fuck alone. Cause it made it at least like real. I don't know. Obviously we're getting ahead. This is season six stuff, but like, I just feel like they really don't understand Nicole and Gianni, and I really think the editing isn't giving them a fair assessment either.
Yeah, no, totally. And I'll say this, and I've said something to this extent before. Honestly, I do believe that she cheated on Gianni with Mike. Like, there's enough evidence that I'm confident in saying I believe that happened. Who gives a fuck? If you feel so much that it needs to be revealed, fine.
And she also cheated on him with Vinny. Can we like remember that too? Like, it's not like she's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be okay. They've clearly moved on.
And this is what I was going to say. Like, okay, even if somehow you feel like it needs to be said for whatever reason, it was already talked about in season four. This whole conversation was had. Gianni and Nicole had to deal with the fact that Snooki had did this, that, and whatever. And they dealt with it. So at this point, it's like, if they have a relationship where they forgive each other for mistakes like that, then that's it. It came out, they're together. Stop questioning why they're together. It's none of your business. So it's funny because in the past, I was like criticizing Gianni. Now I'm like, leave him alone. Just let him be. The poor kid, he's not even doing anything at this point.
You know why? It's one of those things where it's like, hey, we can say that about him. You can't.
Very bad. Which is weird because they know him and we don't. But like, we have different perspective. Well, now they do because they've seen it. But
well, we're on Nicole's side. That's the thing. So when Gianni wasn't being nice to Nicole, we're like, no, we're team Nicole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But now they're good. So we're still team Nicole. And we're like, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Okay, we have to talk. I'm so sorry. But I'm so sorry. As to we talk about Nicole so boldly? Mike comes down the stairs and she turns and she just F slurs the fuck out of him. Hard T. Oh my God. Like, wow. That was a time. 2012 was a time.
It was a time. And I can't lie to you. Like, it was actually a hilarious scene.
I was cracking up.
Me too. And I was like, a different person in a different context, it would have been over. I would have unstand. But for some reason, it was funny. And I was, if she did that today, I think it would be a different story. But
she would never do it today. I think that's why we know. Like, she would not do that today. And
the way she did it was so funny.
It was kind of camp. I don't know. Like,
it was like, it was funny.
It gave, like, two queens, like, being mad at each other over, like, makeup room dressing drama. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Sort of, but you know what it also gave? There's this sound, and I don't know what it's from, but it's Amy Sedaris on some show that she was on, where she calls the guy, she goes, "F***," and he says, "What'd you say?" She goes, "What'd you hear?" He said, "Nothing." She goes, "Then I didn't say anything." And that sound is, like, it was, like, viral on TikTok. So I was like, way she said it was, like, almost the exact same cadence. There was no aggression in it. It just, like, slipped out.
Oh, my God. It's just and that same so vein, though, funny.
Speaking of factory. We're gonna have to cut all these F slurs out.
I'm gonna bleep it all. But it's leave it. You can say, girl, say it as much as you want. Okay. I'm gonna beep it anyway. It's fine.
We're allowed. No, but speaking of, okay, this is like me speculating on people's private business. But when, and I clocked this and I wrote it down because when Mike was recounting the story to Gianni, his story changed a little bit from what it was in season four, just a little. And this detail made mm-hmm. me like, what interesting. What was the situation? Because in season four, the storyline was the unit and Mike, Ryder and Snooki were all together. Unit mm-hmm. and Ryder started hooking up. And so Snooki got horny and like got on Mike. The story changed in this season two. Unit and Ryder were hooking up and Snooki comes in and sees the scene and then et cetera, et cetera. So I'm picturing, do Unit and Mike have like a, like, are do they watch each other fuck? Do they have like a almost, is there like a sexual nature in their relationship? I'm wondering, not, I don't think they like hook up with each other, but I'm wondering if there's like this watching and, you know what I mean?
Yes. So a lot of what's come out as like some of the guys, even on, they've talked about this on Family Reunion. So this is like information that's out there. A lot of the guys from Jersey Shore used to have threesomes together and they used to like, in their mind, they called it like, they'd like share a girl, run train on a girl, but like, let's call it what it is. Y'all had a threesome. And so like, I think Mike and Una absolutely had threesomes. And I think that like, maybe that's even how it started. Like maybe it was going to be a threesome. Maybe Snooki did come in. And also, I think the story changed too. At one point, I feel like he said they had sex. Now he's saying that she blew him. And I'm like, oh, so maybe Mike's exaggerating and Nicole's denying. And like the truth is somewhere in the middle where like maybe they did, maybe they started to hook up or maybe like. I don't know, but I do feel like, yeah, there was some switch up in Mike's story. I think that was a good clock.
Yeah, it was a little different. And the only reason I know that is because he's told it so many fucking times. You can't help but notice when it changes a little bit.
That's true. No, that's true. And honestly, like, Nicole starts, like, beefing with him and, like, fighting with him. And Gianni just doesn't want it. Like, he keeps being like, just stop. Because he's like, I just don't want the drama. And I think that she kind of, like, tones it down enough to like go out and hang out with Gianni. She does throw a couple jars of pickles at him, but like they're gonna get into it like even more later. And you know what, let's just kind of low-key skip ahead a little bit because there's not much to say. Like Nicole and Gianni go on like it looks like a little like date for a minute. They come back and she's been drinking and she kind of teases the future that actually happens for them, so like that's very cute. But then they have a Sunday dinner which breaks out into a food fight, and this is really like the Mike versus like it starts out as like everybody's in the food fight, but it really starts to just be Mike and Snooki, Mike and Nicole throwing food at each other because they have anger apparently to get out on each other, which I still don't get why Mike is so in his emotions about Nicole at all. Like, I don't know what she did to you. Even if she did lie, it doesn't make you like, no one's being like, oh, Mike's a liar. If anything, people are like, Nicole's denying it. Like, I'm just like, nothing that you say is even true. So I don't know. I understand Nicole's animosity towards Mike. Don't really understand Mike's animosity towards Nicole.
The way I see it, the only answer to that is that he was in love with her. I mean, and there's not a lot of evidence that that's the case other than his obsession. And you're right that like a lot of the roomies kind of say without saying that they believe him, but just drop it anyway.
Yeah.
So like he's basically got everybody, but nobody thinks he's, most people don't think he's a liar. They just think he's doing too much. And so the only person that's denying it is her. And so he must like be a little in love with her at that time. Maybe he like, or maybe he wasn't in love, but saw it as like, he wanted to win her over. I don't know, but there's something, he had some type of feelings for her, whatever they were.
I don't know. Now
this scene is really hard to watch.
The scene is simultaneously hard to watch, and then we get one reprise here where Nicole has a 1 gallon jug of milk in her hand. And this is a Jersey Shore deep cut.
Oh, that's so interesting because I had written down, why the fuck is she asking, are you scared of milk, Popeye? Because I was like,
I will tell you.
I was like, is she confused because Popeye eats spinach? Like, not milk.
So this was a Jersey Shore deep cut because, yes, Angelina years ago, not at this point, Jersey Shore history, is it even years ago? It's probably like a year and a half ago. But right. In seasons ago, she referred to Mike as looking like Popeye on crack. And Popeye is known for spinach, I thought. So I'm not really sure. I'm not like a Popeye connoisseur, so I'm not sure if there's a milk reference that I'm missing here. But Nicole is trying to throw the milk on Mike, and she says an iconic line, you scared of milk, Popeye? And that's why she calls him Popeye, because Angelina called him Popeye on crack. I'm not totally sure where the milk comes in, but you're right. Hard scene to watch, except for that part, kind of lived for it.
Well, I agree with you, and it was similar to Ron and Sam fights, where it's mostly uncomfortable, but then Sam will say something so iconic, like, done. Like, you know
it's
what I mean?
Fine.
Like,
I just never want to talk to you again in my entire life.
Exactly. Sometimes the overall scene is not good, but there's a little, like, one-off line that I'm like, oh, that's so iconic, though. So I agree with you. It was hard to watch. It was hard to watch because there was such a clear, especially coming from her, from Nicole, mm-hmm. There was this clear, like, you could sense that it's really bothering her more than she's let on. I think she's been placating him and, like, mm-hmm. being overly nice and friendly yes. to him, hoping that it'll blow over. But I think it's been bothering her even if she's not let on. And so it's all coming out in this moment and sort of an explosion of emotion. And she's not, like, crying or yelling. Like, she's almost playing it off like she's not, like, it's play fighting. Mm-hmm. But you could just sense that this is... been building up for a while, and also it was hard to watch because frankly she was losing the food fight. He got way more on her than she did on him, which was like,
just get him.
I wanted her to just like pour it directly over his head, but yeah, it's too fast for her.
Okay, well the satisfying part though is when she was like, okay, I'll just go lay up all in your bed sheets. Yeah. And she just starts tossing and turning because he's gotten her with ketchup, mustard, whatever, and she's just like, word, get it on me, runs up to his bed. So that was kind of satisfying. What's hard also to watch is like she does make some good points where it's like she brings up Vinny and like let's operate under, let's say she did cheat on Mike. What she's low-key saying is I cheated on Gianni and I'm willing to air it out when it's not you. Totally cool right. for the whole world to know that I cheated on Gianni with Vinny. So much so that I was just flirting with Vinny the other day when I had a bad day. But I don't want anyone knowing that I cheated with you because that shit's embarrassing. And that's kind of like tea for first of all. But then I also really get her point when she's like, I've been so nice to you. And like you just said, she's been overly nice, going out of her way to like include him, understand him, mm-hmm. not react when she absolutely should have reacted to things. And so I think she's beyond frustrated. And like you said, she's not crying. I think she's just through the roof over it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And frankly, so am I. And that was a good catch, what you said mm-hmm. about, because I didn't, that's such a good point that she basically was like, if I'm going to cheat, it's not like with you. Like
it's going to be Vinny on camera.
I'll go hook. Yeah. Like that was kind of earlier. I was saying, I wonder if Mike is in love with her, but maybe that's it. Maybe it's like, are you disgusted by me? Maybe it was just an ego hit. Like maybe he just felt low because she wouldn't fess up to it, but then would hook up with Vinny on camera. Like maybe it was like, well, what has he got that I don't? Are you embarrassed of me?
And Vinny's
him?
Over there like, please don't bring me into this.
I know. that's so interesting. Mike is such a character. This makes me want to watch Family Reunion to be like, oh yeah, I still like him. Because I keep forgetting. Like sometimes I'll see him on social media. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, no, wait, but I forget that he's redeemed himself. Like he's better
I'm so glad that you're on board for maybe watching Family Reunion, because I'm obviously going to push that when we're done season six.
I have to, because I like have to like, it's hard for me to let go of them from 12 years ago, because I've been watching it with you. So I need a refresher of the modern era for sure. So we'll do that soon.
Well, here's what's interesting about like Family Reunion is like the first couple seasons don't even feel like a modern era. They feel like more of this.
Because it's been on for so, because Family Reunion has been on so long, because we're like time is going so oh, yeah. fast.
No, they started Family Reunion like 8 to 10 years ago. It was like a long time ago. And so like, because they only had like a 5 year break. Okay.
Which
well,
is crazy to think about. Yeah, okay.
All right. I have so much to say about the other seasons, but we're not even done season five. So yeah, let's take a little break and then get back into episode 10.
Okay, we'll be back. Can't get enough of Hello?
Never.
Well, check us out on social media. We're on Instagram and TikTok at umhellopod.
And if you are listening to us, but you'd rather be watching, you can go to patreon.com/umhello. There's also going to be tons of bonus content, including bonus episodes and behind the scenes, like how I got my Snooki pove.
And last but not least, if you're a brand or you just want to give us money, send us an email, a professional email at umhellopod@gmail.com.
All right, let's get back to the show already.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello!
Hello. We are back, and it's time for a shift at the t-shirt. Why is it so hard to say? T-shirt store.
And we tongue-twisted it last episode, too. But this is their last shift at the t-shirt store. Dina, Ron, and Nicole go in with some senioritis for their last shift. And it's not super memorable other than them saying, like, bye, Danny. Thanks for a great summer. And then the boys go GTL. Yeah. And that's, like, it for the day.
One thing we didn't mention that happened previously, because it got overshadowed, it happened, like, right before the big fight with Snooki and Mike, was that she brought up the idea of them camping. And at first they were kind of resistant, but it seems like she got most of them on board to do it, because at the shore store during their shift, they were like planning or starting to like, what do we need to bring? You know, they're like, they're really going to do it.
You know, I'll get more into how camping goes, but it does, even in this scene of like, oh, we're going to need this and that and hairspray and whatever. It feels like we're trying to recreate the like Guido fish out of water experience from Italy again. And I'm like, we don't need that. We're at the shore. Give us Jersey Shore, bitch. Like, you know.
They did it twice this season, because when they went fishing, it was the same thing.
Yeah. I don't need, this isn't like the simple life. I don't need to see the Guidos doing anything other than being Guidos.
Could you have imagined though a simple life-esque show with the meatballs?
A that Guido life.
So, yeah, but it could have just been the meatballs. Guido life. I would have loved life. That. I'm just realizing that. But anyway.
Well, speaking of Dina, we're going to get back into her drama with Joey, because if you remember last episode, the whole house is a little bit like hating on Joey, and they're still in that phase. And it's kind of confusing too, because the last episode we left off with Dina walking out on him in the club, but then here she's kind of calling him like nothing happened, and she asks him on a date. But then once she tells the house, they're all like, No, you shouldn't go on this date. So then they, like, convince her to not go on the date that she invited him on.
Yeah, and then instead of calling him to tell him, never mind, don't come, they let him show all the way up. And then leave him out. They won't let him in. He starts, like, calling
Paulie
the house.
Answers the phone and is like, Dina's sick.
Yeah, well, he says, this is sort of how the conversation go. He says, oh, Dina can't make it out. She's sick. And he's like, are you kidding? What the fuck? And then, so Paulie hangs up on him. Then he calls back, and Jenny answers and is like, when we say Dina's sick, you better say, I'll be right up with chicken soup. How dare you say, are you joking? It's like, because he knows she's not sick. He knows you're fucking
because
with him.
She just invited him to come an hour before. Yeah, no, that was so weird. And then they just like hang up and are like, okay, no date, the end. And like, Dina's like, thanks guys for looking out for me. And I was like, that is so fucking weird. Like, okay.
I just feel like he must have icked out the roomies. He must have done something to give them the ick, and then they like talked about it or something behind her back, because there's like this weird consensus where the whole house is against him.
Yeah, it doesn't totally make sense to me. So they just like pivot and are like, all right, well, let's go out. So Sam, Jenny, Dina, and Ronnie go out to somewhere called Jimbo's, and the boys go to Aztec. So Nicole and Gianni stay home, and they stayed in last time, and Dina got like a little bit emotional about that, but now she's like really in her feels about it, because she's like, okay, this keeps happening. I miss like hanging out with my friends. I feel like they just want to be with their boyfriends, and if their boyfriends aren't here, they don't want to do anything. And I can definitely understand that. I just feel like there's like it's like a miscommunication thing, is what I feel like is happening.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even Jenny, like, she sometimes will isolate with Roger as well, but she goes out, and I think it's so Jenny, even to an extent, is agreeing. She kind of sees it too, the like the drawing back of Nicole when Gianni's around, so.
Yeah. And they do give Sam credit. They're like, look, Sam and Ron are here.
But it yeah.
So the boys who were at Aztec, Polly and Vinny, and I guess Mike also, they all bring girls home. And this gets real problematic real fast because Vinny's like, I got a thick girl. And I want a thick girl because I'm tired of pretty girls who just lay there and do nothing. The thick girls actually do something and work for it. So I'm going to have a thick girl. And that's already problematic. But then Polly, also problematic, is like, you know what? Maybe Vinny's going to change his mind about the thick girl. And so I'm going to bring a backup just in case he wants to ditch the thick girl and he'll have someone else to put his penis in that's a little bit skinnier.
It was a different time.
You guys,
It's hard to, yeah, it's just, it's.
really hard to back that one up, you guys.
And the thick girl being maybe a size or two bigger than the skinny girls. Like, what?
The thick girl was the same size as Marilyn Monroe at her thickest. So, like, let's just chill out with like the word thick, even because like
Well, yeah,
she just wasn't a stick. Like,
it's insane.
Jesus Christ.
To like not to harp on about like, but it's insane. It is insane how standards for what is overweight versus what's not has changed. Because you'll look at like the early 2000s, like the pop girls,
America's
like
Next
Chris.
Top Model.
Well, I'm thinking of the pop girls. I'm thinking like Britney and Christina. They would
Oh.
like put on like maybe 5 pounds, and everyone's like, they're obese now. And I'm like, girl, they still like have incredible fucking bodies. They're just like maybe you see a little bit less rib. Jesus Christ. But
There's like
it
a little less collarbone, and everybody's like, she's
tiny, yeah,
obese.
slightly less clavicle, exactly. It's just it was a different time, and it's you have to remember that the conversations were different, but it is hard to watch, yeah.
Whew. Okay, so just to wrap up this night, you know, they bring these girls home. Vinny does, you know, hook up with the thick girl. Polly has his girl. Mike has his girl, and of course, Mike has put his girl in his clothes. And I just want—I don't know what episode I said this in, but I said this recently, how sometimes, oftentimes, actually, Mike's girls leave in his clothes, and this girl leaves again in his clothes, shirt and shorts. And I'm just like, you're just giving away outfits like that? Crazy.
I think he gets off on it a little bit. There's like he has this routine with dressing people up for sure. He loves to
Like
see
branding.
maybe like he's marking his territory. Like, I don't know. There's something I think he likes it. Like, I don't think he minds that they're leaving in his clothes. I don't know. 'Cause that is like a weird little routine that he has. He Every single
So
hookup he does
weird.
it. I don't know what it means, but
I just gotta keep buying new wardrobes because girls are leaving in your clothes. That's crazy.
do you think he has like a hand-me-down program where like he's like, okay, I've worn this enough times now, it's been washed enough times now that I think this will go like in the hookup drawer. You know what I mean? Like he has like
Oh
he
my
passes it.
God.
So where
He
like you might get
must.
rid You might get rid of or sell clothes, you know what I mean? He's like, no, I'll keep them, and this will be my hookup clothes, and that's why he can donate them like that. That's
Wow.
my theory.
Wow, what a move. Okay, well, the Guidos are gonna go camping, but I think we should take a little break before we get into it.
Okay, well, we will be back.
Welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide.
My name is Cheyenne.
I'm Gina.
Class is now in session.
How do you define queer style?
How do you communicate that you don't want to U-Haul at all?
Right, as literally every queer woman I meet hate Geminis.
How do I deal with the most devastating breakup I've ever been through? Sapphic Survival Guide.
We're happy to be queer to answer your questions.
Hello?
Hello.
We're back and it's time to go camping.
The Guidos are going camping. Now, somehow Polly and Vinny get out of it. And I wonder if they had to tell production, like, we don't want to go. And production's like, okay, well, you have to do something if you're not going to go. And they're like, oh, we'll do a big prank, or like how they got out of this.
Oh, maybe.
But
it's their equivalent somehow, of a meatball day.
Yeah, I guess. Because everybody, it seems like everybody else like has to go. I don't know.
Well, here we go with the goddamn pranks again. Look, I'm not super interested in the elaborate pranks. They like the little ones sometimes, but these ones that they have to like think out and do all kinds of stuff, I'm not really thrilled with.
I think that the only reason that this one was maybe okay is because it is like pretty much the end of their summer. Like next episode is the finale. So I don't know how many days they're going to be like left in Jersey, but like maybe it was really just like another day and a half. So it wasn't a big deal. But basically they have this idea to turn the house inside out. And so they want to put everything that's inside as an outside, so like the whole living room, they're recreating it on the deck, and then they're putting everything in the deck in the living room, and vice versa for like everything, the hot tub, the beds, like everything is getting flipped, which like, okay, funny, ha ha ha. But okay, so here's what's really, really, what actually makes me laugh a lot about this prank, because Sam was recently on the Meatball Pod, and they talked about pranks a little bit. So apparently in Family Reunion, I don't know what trip it was on, but on one of their trips, Dina and Sam, like, took a couple of Polly and Vinny's stuff and, like, hid it as, like, pranks, you know, like they all do pranks on each other. So they took like Polly and Vinny's phone and a couple things and like hid them for like a couple hours. Like it doesn't seem like it was very long. Well, Sam said that when Polly got his stuff back, he like didn't really take it very well and had like a reaction where they were kind of like, you prank us all the time and we took your phone for a couple hours and you're mad at us. Like they said that like his reaction like was not fun. And they were like, oh, is Polly like actually mad at us? And they said that because like it didn't go over super well. They never aired it. And it's not like in Family Reunion. And so they were kind of talking about like, yeah, like how can they have been such bad sports? And Sam goes, after what they did to us flipping the house inside out when we got back from camping, I can't believe that they would ever not be good sports about a prank. So she basically references this as the worst prank that the boys ever did on her. And she makes a great point. We'll get into how camping goes, but in terms of the prank, they had just come from a less than amazing camping experience where she said they were all tired and hungry because they were like sleeping in tents on the ground. They were eating like picking campfire food. It wasn't like full meals. Like they were tired and hungry and they came back and just wanted to like shower and lay down and like rest after camping. And they come back and the house is flipped inside out, which we actually don't see their reaction in this episode. We're going to get into it next episode. But Sam said that she was so mad because for everyone else, they just had to take their stuff from the deck down one flight of stairs and then back into their room. But Sam is sleeping in the second floor room with Ron and Mike. So Sam had to take all of her stuff down the stairs off the deck and then back up the stairs into her room. So everyone else is doing one flight of stairs except for Sam and Ron, who are doing two flights, I guess, and Mike, who are doing two flights of stairs. And it was also after they just not gotten a good night of sleep, not gotten great meals, wanted to just shower and rest. And she said that like this was the worst prank ever. And she was like, we were so fucking pissed that I can't believe that Polly had such a little like temper tantrum about me taking his phone for a couple hours. And I'm already a Sammy Sweetheart stan, but I was like, say it again louder, Sammy. If these boys can't take it, they shouldn't be dishing it so hard.
Absolutely. I hate to hear that because of all people on this planet, Polly better fucking know how to take a joke. Don't right? dish what you can't take. Don't pull obnoxious pranks if you can't take them back. Because they didn't really do it a lot. It was they were always unopposed on the original show. They, no one ever really pranked them back. So we never really saw their reaction to getting pranked back. So it's interesting.
If they did,
here.
It was so minor or like not successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was always like the meatballs, like when they put marshmallows on the wall as a prank.
Right. Right. Like they tried.
Yeah.
Now, this prank was like elaborate too. Like they boys have like notebooks for the prank. They're planning it out ahead of time. They're bringing Danny in. They're getting AstroTurf, which to me is giving, we have extra budget this season. You guys want to use some of it?
Yeah. Right? It was giving like, oh, let's like make this an officially like, let's produce this rather than just having the boys do whatever's funny. Because yeah, it was very elaborate and not, so Danny brought a bunch of people. So it wasn't, there was like a total of like six or seven, there was a whole crew, yeah, of people doing this. And I don't know if we see it next episode. Is there a crew of people who fix it or does everyone have to do it?
I don't remember how we get rid of like the AstroTurf and stuff, but everybody does take their own personal items back to their room.
Let me say this. I have to make a confession in general. In general, in life, for myself, on TV, in media, I fucking hate pranks. I always have and always will. And I give them a pass usually on the Jersey Shore because they're usually pretty minor. But it's enough with the pranks. I've had it. I get, you know, they're all good sports, but I don't like pranks. Like, I don't like prank shows. I was on a prank show once and I hated it. And I went ahead and signed the release form because I'm an attention whore and I wanted to be on TV, but I was not happy about it.
Oh my gosh, I remember you telling the story actually. See, I don't typically like pranks. I think that they can be done in ways that are funny.
Yeah.
But I don't think that if there's cleanup involved at all, count me the fuck out. Or if there's anything really that has to be like put back or fixed or whatever, that's when it doesn't get funny to me anymore. But like, okay, an example of a funny prank, right? In one of the family vacation seasons, they tell Paulie that they're gonna bring a date for him, and then they put Vinny in drag, and that's the date. And like, that's a funny,
that's funny
prank.
Yeah.
It's funny too because Paulie's like, oh, I'm going on a date, like this is weird. And then when Vinny comes out, he understands the joke and immediately leans in and is like, she's beautiful. And it's so funny. And nobody has to clean anything up. Nobody's stuff was moved. Nobody's things were tampered with.
Okay.
They just told Polly, you're going on a date. And then it was Vinny in drag. That's funny. So yeah. I'm like, you could do a prank in a way that is funny. I don't think they do that very often, but, and so as a general rule, not a huge fan of pranks, but I'm like, every once in a while, a TV show will get me on one. You know, it's another good one. The Todd Cranes from the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Are you a Kardashian person?
No, but I'm aware of that storyline for whatever
reason.
That's
just like a phone prank. So like, it's pretty harmless. He just calls, says he's Todd Cranes. They have a conversation, then he hangs up, and he just like does that every so often, and it like confuses Kris Jenner. Harmless prank. No cleaning up, no stuff being tampered with.
What I'm saying here? I do see what you're saying, because actually you reminded me that there is one style of prank that I, as a prank hater, am okay with. And I tend to actually be okay with pranks, because it's all about, what is the joke? What is the joke that you just fucked up my life? Because that's not funny. Is the joke that you just embarrassed me? Because that's not funny. But when the joke is, I'm embarrassing myself in front of you so that you can laugh at me, that is so self-deprecating that is okay. Like, I actually, like, used to regularly watch Impractical Jokers, because that's very the vibe of that show. Is like, we're humiliating ourselves and you just get to kind of watch. And so I guess that doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that kind of prank too, as long as I get to, you know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be bothered. I just get to watch you be foolish. So
no, it definitely toes a line. This is, like you said, an elaborate prank. There's layers, there's so much. And everybody else is, like we said, camping, which I feel is a super random thing for them to do at the Jersey Shore. Like, at least fishing kind of made sense because they're at the shore. But I'm like, camping in the woods at the Jersey Shore? Okay. And it goes just about as well as you'd expect it to go. They're very, like, out of their element. But one thing that I really think was interesting is, like, at one point, Mike is, like, acting very weird and erotic. Oh my God. No,
erotic.
Oh my God. He's acting very erratic and he's like, oh, I'm hearing sounds and whatever. And Jenny flat out says, Mike, are you in a paranoid state right now? And I think we really let that go. But like, I have this behind the scenes thing where, and I think I mentioned it too on the podcast so far this season, where Jenny's talking about how like she's talked to Mike about the drugs and said like, what do you need or how do you get or what's like, what do you need when you're paranoid? And so to me, I'm like, this is them having like drug user management. It's very, I don't know. And I know I like harp on it so much this season, but to me, I can't watch this season without seeing Mike's drug problem, especially like just reading his memoir.
Yeah. Well, you know, it feels like I agree that it's impossible to ignore because I think it was easy to ignore before, but he himself has come forward and said, yeah, I was doing this, that, and the other during this time. So it's hard not to go back and go, oh, is this it? Is this it? And this was definitely it because there was something about not only that he was paranoid, he kept like hearing sounds that weren't there, but there was something about sort of his movement. There was there's kind of a...
He's sweating.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting. It was kind of hard to watch, but he sort of... Did he, like, put himself to bed? He got in his tent. I think he, like, knew he was done for the night.
I guess... Well, you know, before... I do want to mention, before he put himself to bed, he's, like, playing with fire, literally. This is not an LGBTQ-friendly episode. Let's just like start there. Because Dina, she meant to call him a pyromaniac. That's what she means to call him. Instead, she calls him a problematic word. She calls him a hermaphrodite. And that is not what she means. And that's not even the word you should use. You should say intersex. But oh my God, this is... GLAAD is not nominating this episode for any awards, let me tell you.
Well, in general, I GLAAD isn't nominating any episode of any season ever. But if they had like an opposite, you know how, like, have you ever heard of the Razzies? The award show that's for the worst? The Razzies is like the opposite Oscars. Oh. It's the award show. It's for the worst performances and the worst movies. If GLAAD had an award for the most
least
problematic
ally.
Thing, the least ally, this episode could be nominated for that. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I just wonder, like, how did that mistake doesn't even make sense. Hermaphrodite sounds nothing like pyromaniac.
I don't, she just heard like a long word and was like, this must be the one. Clearly. Oh, I don't know. Oh my God. That was Dina. Wild.
She's so sweet. She doesn't mean anything by it. Poor thing.
Oh my gosh. Now the girls do kind of confront Nicole here being like, hey, you're always with Johnny, blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember if this really amounts to much of anything, but I do think it's like an interesting conversation to be had right before she's going to be like pregnant next season, I guess.
Her reaction to it was sort of, I didn't know what to take away from it because on one hand she was like, I see what you're saying, and if the roles were reversed, I probably would also be upset. But at the same time, like, I'm obsessed with my boyfriend, and I just want to be with him when I'm with him. So, like, I don't know.
I don't think she, like, fully was ready to, like, receive the message. She was just like, I hear what you're saying, but, like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, she, like, like, she understood why Dina was upset, but was like, I'm still going to do it, though, because, like, that's, you know, that's my man.
Yeah, she was not willing to give much, like, thought to changing anything about it. She's just like, I'd probably feel the same way, but whatever. I'm in love. And in the morning, again, Mike, like, so weird, like, crazy cleaning up, like, throwing the tent to like, deconstruct it. And Jenny's like, I'm just trying to get a bug off my thing. He's like, okay, I guess I'll just do everything. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, I can't with you. And they're all cleaning up, frustrated, ready to get home, while Paulie and Vinny are just sitting in their fake hot tub inside the house, waiting for everybody to see this prank.
And in classic Jersey Shore fashion, we get the little cliffhanger of, who was it? Was it Dina? She opens the door, or maybe Nicole. opens the door and is like, oh my God. And then credits. Mm-hmm. So we'll see the rest. We'll see everybody's reaction next week in the finale. Oh my God.
Yeah. In the finale. Now we can end with a little cookie quote. I take Polly this time?
Yeah. You go for it. Let me look at this real quick.
We were talking about tongue twisters being the short store. This is a little bit of a tongue twister, but I'm ready for the challenge.
Okay. Well, let's just jump right into it. I'll be Vinny and you be Polly.
Okay.
Biggest prank ever. No turning back now.
It's about to go down because the second they open that door, bam, we change the whole house inside out. We put the inside outside, the outside inside, the inside outside, the outside inside. So now the inside deck is now the outside deck. The outside deck is now the inside deck. And basically, we prank the whole damn house. I told them not to go camping. End scene.
Scene. Honestly, that was like almost poetry. It was beautiful.
Polly knows how to make a quote. That's for sure. He's probably the most quotable. Him and Sookie could probably be like tied for like most quotes of Jersey Shore history.
For sure. Well, that was another excellent Polly line. And I can't wait to see how they react to this prank. I really don't know because I haven't watched ahead. So I'll see next week.
I can't believe next week's the finale. I really can't believe it.
I know. Goodbye. Well, so yeah, the finale and then a reunion. So two more recap episodes for this season. And then that's it, which is crazy.
All right. I love season 5. It's been a lot of like ups and downs. I don't know quite how to feel about it in the end, but I am excited for the finale because it's giving like last day of school energy a bit, especially with like, we're coming back on the prank. They're going to reset the house and then what? And then we're going to like have a send off for the summer, I guess.
I guess so. All right. Well, we'll see you next week for the finale of season 5.
The finale.
Until then, goodbye. I'm goodbye.
If you want more of the podcast, you can follow us on any social media at Hello Pod.
We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/hello. We've got a video feed there so you can see our beautiful faces while we recap Jersey Shore. And we've also got a little bit of behind the scenes bonus content for you.
And you can find me anywhere online at The Lee Regina, including my website, theleeregina.com.
And you can find me online on TikTok and Instagram at angel.iconic.music.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.